This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com, go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
Look at me, Damien! It's all for you!
Look at me, Damien! It's all for you! This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of FilmSack. This is FilmSack episode 46, and we are here to talk about a movie from the 70s. And this movie is a horror movie. So as we get closer to Halloween, by gum, we're going to start dragging out the horror movies. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by the following individuals. With me first is Randy Crazy Priest Jordan.
Hey, Scott. I'm glad you're considering me for this show because, you know, some of our younger podcasters, they get homesick, they have boy problems. I left that all behind long ago. And in light of what I just said being ridiculously creepy, you should now leave me alone with your troubled son.
Who sent you?
Oh, you didn't do it? Well, I didn't do it. Well, I guess it's okay.
Did the agency send you?
The agency. Yeah, the agency. That's it.
That's the one. Yeah, don't be suspicious at all. The kid's not going to church. All right. Also with us is Brian. There are four lights. Dunaway.
Awesome.
All right, that's it. No more cake, son. You see what you did? You made the nanny hang herself. Now go tell the hippie European camera dude to stop taking pictures. In a nice way, Damien.
In a nice way.
Nice way.
Very nice. That's one of my favorites you've done. You did that with passion and oomph.
Yeah.
I liked it. Finally, joining us, Mr. Brian Glass Decap Ibbett.
We're here at the ambassador's house where we've secretly replaced Mrs. Thorne's baby with the spawn of the devil. Let's see if anyone notices.
I love that.
Little do they know, if they just shaved his head, it would all become clear. All right. We're talking about The Omen. It's The Omen.
It's The Omen.
Not The Yeoman.
Oh, The Omen.
Yeah, not the low rank in naval ships. Not Yeoman. The Omen. And The Omen is a 1976 film that came out. Director Richard Donner, written by David Seltzer and Scott Fletcher, of course, as always, can explain.
The Omen. Robert and Catherine Thorne, played by Gregory Peck and Lee Remick, raise a boy, Damien, played by Harvey Stevens, in place of their stillborn infant. And all is well, until it is foretold that Damien is the spawn of the devil. Soon, Robert is pitted against the forces of hell and must make a fateful decision. Richard Donner directs, Billy Whitelaw, David Warner, Patrick Troughton, and Martin Benson co-star in this classic scary tale.
And none of those names have any nothing to me.
I didn't know Benson was in this.
Not Benson. Yeah, Robert Guillaume or whatever his name is. He's in it. No.
I love that guy.
What, love Benson? Benson's great, dude.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, Benson provides a nice Star Trek connection.
Exactly. That old forehead on there.
Rene Aubergenois was on there.
Mm-hmm.
And
is he French?
No.
I saw him at Dragon Con.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he was there.
How'd he look? Did he slink away in a yellow glob?
He looked exactly like he did,
Benson.
8 years ago on Voyager and on Benson.
Commander Sisko! I'm melting, damn it. We got to find a cure. Yeah, hey, I love that guy. He's great.
Yeah,
he's got awesome. A great voice. Does a lot of cartoon work and video game stuff and all that.
Of course, this film has the ultimate Star Trek connection. I've known David Warner's name ever since the Next Generation episode Chain of Command came out. Mm-hmm. And I saw this movie at Rachel Butler's 16th birthday party way back in the day.
I remember that.
And I didn't remember a thing about this movie. But the minute David Warner came on the screen, I was like, oh my God, there are four lights. Like, it was just like.
Yeah, there are always four lights. To me, though, he's also the sort of devil evil guy on Time Bandits. He's also the bad guy in Tron, which is only 2 years later. He's a great
geeky connection guy. I mean, all these great villains he's playing.
Yeah, and just to talk a little bit more about the Star Trek connection, he was not only in that episode of Next Generation or that series of episodes, I guess it was a two-parter. He was in the film, I almost said No Country for Old Men, Undiscovered Country. You know, the Star Trek film, No Country for Old Men. That was a hell of a...
I remember that.
Yeah, they used that Klingon, had that air compressor gun, would shoot people in the head with it. It was amazing. Anyway,
flip a coin.
He played Chancellor Gorkon in that movie. He died very early in the very early parts of the film. Had purple blood floating around. Remember that?
I hate when that happens.
Oh yeah.
He was also the character of Saint John Talbot, and that was part of what was that part of? That was part of another movie. Anyway,
I think he was in two of the Star Trek movies, 4 and 5, I think.
Yeah, I think it was
five and six.
And it's Talbot was in six or no, five. Sorry. Talbot was in five. Six was the Gorkon dude. And then he was Gol Macred or whatever. He was
Gol Madred,
a Cardassian in Chain of Command, which was awesome, which is such a seminal moment in that series and in Star Trek history, in my opinion.
He's one of only 32 people who have acted with both the original cast of Star Trek and one of the spinoffs.
Yep.
No, I really enjoy Star Trek, this movie.
Well, it's an easy offshoot.
Oh, wait a minute.
It's an easy offshoot because he's really compelling, regardless of how low-key this part is and how grisly his death is. I could watch that guy make eggs. I really like him. So I could talk about that guy all day, but we won't. Gregory Peck, of course. We talked before the show. Oh, by the way, maybe the earliest of the Donner movies that I know of that I'd seen, Superman, Starman and Spider-Man. Sure, that's what I saw. No, that Superman came out in what, 79? Do I have that right? 80?
79?
So it was after this.
Faster?
I love me some Richard Donner. He went on to do, of course, the Lethal Weapon film series, most of them, maybe all
78.
Of them.
78? Superman?
The movie didn't feel like it was made in the 70s to me, except for when there was sweeping terrible music and some bad hairstyles.
Oh, gosh.
But I knew Randy was thinking about that soundtrack. It's pretty bad. But the actual direction of the film felt pretty good to me, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Had modern sensibilities. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yes. And the cinematography was just brilliant in this movie.
Yeah, that was good. Good for its time.
It moved through quickly. I mean, it was, you know, there wasn't a lot of dead time when there wasn't plots moving forward and action and stuff like that.
Billy Whitelaw, Harvey Stevens, the kid that played Damien Thorne, the devil kid. He is my age, and that weirded me out while I watched this. Really did weird me out.
How do you really tell when a 5-year-old is the devil? I mean, because they already act like the devil anyway. So
yeah,
I mean,
that's true. I think
it's funny if you've been around a few 5-year-old boys. This is like not that creepy. Like,
the minute they push their mother over the banister, that's when you know there's trouble.
Death by tricycle.
Yeah, death by tricycle. For sure.
This film had a bunch of good ones. There's besides Death by Tricycle, there was Death by Church Javelin, Death by Noose, Death by Rottweiler, Death by Ambulance Roof. I love that one.
Yep.
Or as Brian
that
Abbott
was
would
weird.
Say, Death by Ambulance Roof. Yeah. And of course Death by Plate Glass to the Neck. But man, that Church Javelin wasn't even close.
No, he needs to learn the old step to the side trick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's instead of rough. Someone going, no, don't land on me.
That was great. It did finally explain all that photography crap, which I never figured out what he was doing until they explained that. I was like, what are you doing? What is that? So you've got some bad line. And boy, if there was ever a movie that was desperately in need of modern day digital photography, it was this movie.
I liked it.
The movie?
It was old school.
Oh, I think.
That's how I can tell you're going to die. There's a fingerprint on the... photograph I just took of you.
Now,
you
how many
you how
likes
boring it'd be
do
if it was
see?
Digital? They would go, yeah, over in this section, zoom in. All right, zoom in here, zoom in here. Oh, no pixelation because we're zooming into this picture like 50 times. Yeah, that's much more realistic.
Good point. You make a good point. I do hate that in movies. Yeah. Originally, the character that Gregory Peck played was supposed to be Charlton Heston. Turned it down.
Could I can totally see that.
Totally see Heston in this. Totally. Yeah. Roy Scheider. Overacting. Totally see Roy Scheider in this.
This would have had a totally different ending, though, if he had been in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Not Roy Scheider.
You keep calling him Schneider.
I gotta fix the sing, Miss Romano.
I find it kind of lovable that you do that, so keep doing that. Dick Van Dyke was supposed to play it for a while. He turned it down. Probably a good.
I'm sure honestly, he was supposed to be Damien.
Honestly, Gregory Peck wasn't needed for this film to be any good. Like a number of people could have done a really good job with this role.
Totally agree. Anybody could have pulled it off. Probably he did end up making the most money ever. According to his biography, he took the role as a huge cut to salary, like $250,000 total. So for an A-list actor like this, maybe on his downswing, but either way, you know, a respected actor to only take $250,000 at the time was really not much, but he was also guaranteed 10% of the film's box office gross.
Smart.
He went on to make more than the movie went on to make more than $60 million in the U.S. alone, not to mention international, all the other stuff you get. So it became the highest paid performance of his entire career.
Yeah.
So good for him. Late in his time. When did he die? I forgot to check.
I guess I was a bit bothered by the fact that he was, you know, like 60 years old when they made this movie. And here he is, you know, having just had a baby. I don't know. There was something. And then they get pregnant again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually buying into it because he's an ambassador and they really seem like that kind of family. And that happens in political families sometimes.
Oh, no, I'm not, you know, like she was like 40 and I get that. But it just seemed like they were both too old.
He died.
Why haven't they had any kids yet?
Born in 1916, lived to 2003, died at age 87 of bronchial pneumonia. I mean, at 87, you pretty much want it to come, right?
Yeah.
I think terrible.
Unless
to say.
You're 86, in which case you're going, no.
Yeah, sorry.
Famous actor of stage and screen.
No, he's awesome. I'm a big fan, but I felt like, and I said this last week and I'll say it again, I felt like I hadn't seen very many Gregory Peck movies, but then Randy rattled off a big list of them and I went, oh wait, I've actually seen like most of those. To Kill a Mockingbird, I've seen
Guns of Navarone.
Yep. There's others. And I'd seen many Westerns and things. I just forgot. Because to me, it's a different dude. Like this is him on the other end, on the other side of the hill, and doing a pretty good performance. But there were moments in the movie, and you'll see when I play some files later, where he dipped back into that 50s, 40s acting school of, you know, ridiculous overacting to show anger and stuff. But for the most part, pretty subtle, and you know, he came. You know,
he always looked angry.
Well, he was.
He had a spawn of Satan in his house, so I guess I would be angry too.
Yeah. That would do it, yeah.
He had a young wife, young hot wife, which is cool for a 60-year-old dude. But he seemed like the ambassador guy. Didn't seem like he had much going on for work, though. Kind of just walking around.
Too bad his wife didn't have much upper body strength.
Well, she would have if she wasn't. You mean when she was in the cast and she got chucked?
When she was actually, when Damien knocked her off onto the banister and she was like sliding down. Oh, Damien, no. And, she didn't hold on for like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Greatest special effect ever at that scene, too.
Oh, that was awesome. Her falling.
The slow motion thing? Yeah.
I thought long and hard about how they did that. I went back and watched it a couple of times and it was really impressive. Like they used a couple of tricks with her laying on a big, huge plate of glass or, you know, transparent plastic or whatever. And having her turn over on that, I was impressed that I'm not usually impressed by horror movie effects.
Yeah. You don't hardly see that even today. I mean, they're just now getting good at that on green screen.
Yeah, I would agree. It was pretty effective, and it scared the hell out of me.
They would have put her on waste wires nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. But when I was a kid, the movie scared the hell out of me. That scene in particular was really hard for me as a kid. And also Rottweilers scared me real bad when I was a kid. Mm.
They still scare me now.
Well, according to the trivia I found, Rottweiler sales, like people buying those as pets, went way up after this movie. I'm like, what? They should have gone way down.
You know, that hellhound was real cute. We got to get one of those.
That's terrible. Okay, another cool effect when the fishbowl falls to the ground before she falls. They use dead sardines painted orange.
I was about
orange.
To say, did some fish die?
Because Richard Donner, apparently, according to the commentary, refused to kill for the sake of making a movie.
Right.
He didn't mind demonstrating what it would look like for all these different people to die. But
yeah, good point.
Not killing fish.
Yeah, that makes sense. There was some strange stuff around the film. The original changed the name from The Antichrist to The Birthmark. Eventually, The Omen, the film, The Birthmark. That seems like a.
Yeah, I knew it. Right? What's this movie? The Birthmark? No. Nah,
Ashton
this.
Kutcher film, just waiting to be named.
Yeah.
Exactly. The film seemed to fall victim to a sinister curse, according to this. Sir Gregory Peck, I guess he was knighted, and screenwriter David Seltzer took separate planes to the UK, yet both planes were struck by lightning. While producer Harvey Bernard was in Rome, lightning just missed him while he was out walking around. Rottweilers for the film attacked their trainers. The hotel which the director Donner stayed at got bombed by the IRA. He was struck by a car. After Peck canceled another flight to Israel, the plane he would have chartered crashed, killed everyone on board.
It sounds to me like they were pretty dang lucky.
On day one of the shoot, several principal members of the crew survived barely a head-on crash.
Wow.
So, whatever.
And one dude got his head cut off with glass.
Dude, this is terrible. You know what? This is bad. The jinx appeared to persist well into post-production, so they're doing like edits and stuff. Special effects artist John Richardson was injured, and his girlfriend was beheaded in an accident on the set of A Bridge Too Far. Dude. I'm not saying that some of this stuff, I mean, maybe none of this can be corroborated. I'm just saying this is always creepy. It always accompanies these movies.
Yeah. Right. Poltergeist.
Yep.
Twilight Zone.
Yeah. I call it a marketing move is what I call it.
Yeah, it is, because any movie has people who get injured and strange coincidences, but only marketing people on horror movies seem to go collect all the different stories and string them together and try to go tell the Today Show about them.
It's
all.
It's like, oh, wait, right. Both your planes left the UK at the same time in that same storm, and lightning hit the wing of both planes. You know what? I do not fly very much, mainly because I hate it, but I haven't flown that much in my life. I've flown maybe, I don't know, a dozen or maybe 20 times total.
Wow.
And I probably 10 of that the plane got struck by lightning. It happens all the time. It does. It happens all the time, because when you get up into that cloud cover, you see it hitting the wings, and the captain always comes on. If you notice to your left, we just got struck by lightning again. That's something that occurs.
Sweet.
There's no reason to be, you know, there's nothing to fear. This is a normal thing. It just, you know, it's like the plane is grounded. I'm like, "What? We're in a plane. You're lying to me."
That is crazy. I've probably flown maybe 150 times. Back my old day job, I used to have to go out to newspapers around the country and install software. And so I flew all over the place. And I've never been on a plane that was struck by lightning, or at least that I know of.
That the pilot told you about.
That's right. I'm never flying anywhere with Mr. Scott Johnson.
Well, I was all worried about it. And I remember asking somebody, and a pilot friend or someone my brother, this pilot's license, he says, oh, yeah, it happens all the time. He says, when I'm out running around in our little prop engine, we get struck. It just happens.
But that's different. When you're out in a personal aircraft, yeah, I would say your chances of getting into a storm are way worse than when you're on a commercial airline, where they go so far out of their way to not even fly near storms. Just don't want to have anything to do with them. They, you know, these transcontinental flights that we're on a lot, they fly well over what the altitude where lightning storms normally happen.
Except that terrible monsoon I flew out of in Hong Kong. I was on a seat that was near the wing, and I saw that thing strike the left wing, and it scared the freaking, it scared the,
like a little, the it's like a little dude with like a furry suit on.
There's
there.
A man on the wing of this plane.
And I, here's, please, Mr. Shatner, calm down and sit back.
trying to steer back towards the movie a tiny bit. Yeah. Here's what bugs me. Why do we say beheaded? Like, if you are currently alive, you are headed, right?
Right. You got
It should be de-headed, right? De-headed. You should be deprived of your head. Yeah. You beheaded right now, right?
Yeah. I mean, or if Randy came to me and you had nothing but shoulders,
the bones out of a fish, right? You debone the fish.
Yeah, so, yeah. Now if you beboned the fish, you would be giving it new bones, right? You'd be saying, right. "I bequeath on you new bones, oh fish that has lived up to our highest regard."
Bebone.
Right, so I'm explaining why I'm going to talk about deheadings.
All right, thank you. I like it. Mm-hmm. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, because I don't think that has not ever come up before, and I'm a better man for it. All right. According to at least, oh, I already said that. Rottweilers, I already said that. Forget about all that. Another Jerry Goldsmith score for Film Sackery. So we've had like 10 of these or something.
And this was the one. This was the one he won his Academy Award for. He only got one Academy Award in all his lustrous career, and this was it. And what a crime.
Yeah, the tastes have changed, dude. There were some strange ideas of what was... It was so sweeping and ridiculous. Like, here we are just getting into our car. You're like, dude, no.
It is the devil.
Dial
it. Is the devil.
Well, that stuff I can deal with, where like they got the monks singing and all that weirdness. That's cool. Yeah. But when it was just calm, when they were trying to portray that, oh, this life is great stuff, it just was so over the top. You could feel, I could taste the sugar as I listened. It's terrible.
There is no doubt in my mind that the musical wing of the Academy, if they were to look back and reassign awards, they would take it away from him for this movie and maybe give him a couple of Oscars for like Star Trek.
Who would they give him? Oh, I agree. I totally agree. But who would they give it to that year? I don't know enough about that year as far as movies go, but this was probably a cut above because everything I've ever heard from 76 sounds like trash.
Yeah.
So maybe.
I mean, I thought this was quality for a 76 movie.
I don't know. At least it was orchestrated, except for the dog part. I'll play that in a minute. Wah, 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 wah. Nothing will ever beat that. That is the worst. That is maybe one of the worst things we've ever perpetrated on humanity, that episode, that whole movie. Except we did get There's a Hole in the Roof, which I appreciate every day.
Yes, you do.
Okay, something I noticed, Gregory Peck is pretty cool looking in a lot of scenes and kind of youngish looking, and then other scenes looks terrible. Like it was filmed 8 years apart. And I can't quite put my finger on why, but there was a lot of moments like that where Gregory Peck seemed like two actors.
Lighting.
Well, and I guess they filmed in two very different locations for the Mediterranean stuff and for the British stuff, right?
Yeah, Israel and the UK somewhere.
Must have been that they also took a break in between those different sets because, it was a totally different dude.
Seemed like it. His hair was all crazy and grayer, it seemed like, and his eyes seemed more baggy. I don't know. Maybe he got struck by lightning. He's flying that plane. And then what else? I like the creepy priest dude. He was cool. Probably my favorite thing in the whole movie.
Which one? There were like three priests in this film.
My favorite one was the one that kept showing up and finally got the sword or the steeple through his gut. He was great.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were talking about the one who originally gave him the baby and ended up with his face all burned.
That guy's,
that guy was creepy too.
Yeah, he was pretty creepy. Although I didn't think the makeup on the face was very well done, so it kind of threw me out of the moment. But early on, when he's all trying to cover up the death and encouraging everyone to lie and under the guise
of... Just take the baby. Your wife will never know.
You'll never know the goat baby.
Kind of looks like you a little bit. Looks like you're a little bit.
It's God's
What's the
will.
Deal there? I have been questioning that ever since I saw that first scene. Why were they pushing this baby on him so bad?
Well, the premise, that's a terrible premise, right? You know what I mean? Like, what I'm saying is, it's like, okay...
That makes sense.
They're pushing the baby on him, but the guy's saying, "Oh, he kind of looks like it." Nope, nobody does that.
Right. It was a setup. It was a setup because the priest who did that had the symbol of the 666. He was marked. His reason why I said, he was one of the marked ones, just like the other priest.
Oh,
he was all part of the plan.
Oh, I didn't get that. I just thought he was a dumbass.
That's what I was understanding.
All right, I just thought he was a dumbass.
So,
because they were trying to position, they killed. Remember, because they killed his baby. On purpose. That's the reason why I had a skull fracture in the grave.
Oh,
they killed his baby on purpose, and they put that baby into the hands of a politician because they were moving this forward.
I don't know.
You're saying that from the get-go, the Catholic Church are the real bad guys here?
Well, this certain sect of the Catholic Church was the bad guys. We're not saying all the Catholic churches were wrong. These ones that were marked because, later on, one of the priests said, "Hey, look at my," he's like, "Look at my sign. We can, the 666, and, we can contemplate it when we burn in hell."
Randy's
burning in hell.
Go ahead.
Just seems like a really roundabout way to get this kid to the White House. That's all I'm saying.
I would just like to assume from here until the end of the show, I'm going to just assume that Randy's mic got more echoey because he took the computer into the can with him. It sounds like you're in a little bathroom or something.
I will mute and reconnect.
I like,
but
that.
Yeah, I
keep going.
I know, I liked it. Anyway, Brian, go ahead.
But really, I felt it was a brilliant way to get him into the White House. I mean, they went to someone who was of great power, who was up and coming, was planning on trying to be the president, and was just in a great position. And I mean, he was the European ambassador. I mean, all of it just kind of just fit in.
Yeah, you've explained things I missed. I don't know how I missed that. Like I forgot about the skull.
I do own this movie on DVD and have seen it many times.
You're lying. You do not.
I do. I have this movie on DVD.
You own The Omen on DVD.
Yeah, man, this is a fantastic
Did it come in a box
film.
Set with like some other movies?
Is a fantastic movie.
Did it come in a collector's edition with a cloth map and a bag of knives? Or I mean,
six of them. Actually, it was seven.
Weird, dude. I don't know anyone who owns The Omen. You're my hero today. Who owns The Omen? Brian Dunaway. That's all I know.
Yeah. But maybe it came in a pack with like The Exorcist.
That's what I said. Yeah.
The Exorcist is crap. Now this movie is an actual
dude.
Good movie.
Oh my
Exorcist
gosh,
is crap.
I'm sorry.
Go back and watch The Exorcist. That is crap.
It is not crap at all. It's a fine film. It's an excellent drama about a priest's struggle with his own faith. My gosh.
Which movie is crap. Which movie?
The Omen. The Omen doesn't have half the gravitas of Exorcist.
I don't know. Sorry. I feel like they're all in the same boat. Like they're all the same ilk. They're all shaved off the same piece of wood. These movies. They're all like, it's the 70s, and we're scared of religious stuff. So let's make a lot of these, and then fake stories about airplanes getting struck and stuff like that. It's a very unique thing that the late 70s mainstream film audiences were fed for a long time there. And maybe I'm just referring to these two movies and I can't really point to any others, but they were influential enough to be, important parts of all that. Oh, I have a question. That new Exorcist movie, Randy, you go to a lot of movies. Have you seen this new one? I've been hearing really good things about it.
The Last Exorcism?
Yeah, I heard it was good.
It's not bad. It's not... Like, I've been really disappointed in these attempts to word-of-mouth up horror movies lately. Like, I told you guys, Paranormal Activity was not as good as the word-of-mouth campaign would have you believe. And the Last Exorcism was also, it was pretty run-of-the-mill horror movie. There wasn't anything really special about it.
Right.
What I'd like to know about The Omen is how did they know 10 years in advance what Chucky was going to look like in Child's Play? How'd they know that? That was creepy. This kid looked just like Chucky.
He does. I like it.
So can we talk, before we get to some clips, I'd like to talk about what our favorite deaths were. And I agree about the Chucky thing. That kid was a freak. And he's my age. He's lurking around somewhere right now, dude.
I think I've already staked my claim for death by church javelin. So I'm going to stick with that.
It's hard to say.
I agree, but I mean, is there a second place everybody could pick? Like, do we like the decapitation with glass
thing? Decapitation is definitely effective.
Great. The nanny is a very shocking scene with the whole, it's all for you, Damien. It's all for you.
That was shocking and
super loud. At that point, you have been lulled out of it being a horror movie. Like, you're totally, there hasn't been anything scary or even creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, wow, that... That's kind of, and they shot it like a snuff film. They shot it almost like, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I agree, but another thing about that is the 70s was famous for this in my mind. Super loud stuff. Like if you really wanted to convey something, make it really ear-piercingly badly recorded loud. Mm-hmm, and that's how that hanging was. It just shot me out of my chair. I'm like, gosh,
I actually have this in my notes because we watched Fright Night last week. Mm. And the difference between, I guess, the mid-70s and the mid-80s is that everyone discovered sound compression during that time.
Yeah.
And so the low sounds are very low, and the high sounds are very high in older movies. And, I watched this with a headset on, and it blew me away because I had been turning it up and turning it up. And I almost wish somebody would go back in time and compress these things.
Yeah, fix them.
I guess because I've gotten used to it.
Yeah. I agree. I hate that.
We were talking about the same thing. We had to turn it up and turn it down and turn it up constantly.
Yeah, and the music would get super loud, and then there was dialogue. I can't hear what he's saying. You have to hurry and turn it up. It was driving me crazy. And I was watching this particular one I watched in bed on my iPad at like 1 in the morning.
Nice.
Scaring the crap out of me.
That's a great time to watch it.
That's a great time to watch The Omen.
Right.
Yeah. It didn't have the same effect as when I was a kid. It terrified me. Now it's just like, whatever. These people are terrible actors. Oh, quick Star Wars reference in the film. Can you guys guess what it is? I didn't want to forget this.
Star Wars reference.
Star Wars. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The ambassador has to go to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters.
No.
That was Anakin Skywalker, just like the 5-year-old in this movie.
Oh,
is.
Yeah. Well, that's really... that you say that, that's what it is. It's the shadow of Anakin Skywalker turning into Darth Vader, and they did a similar thing with this one with the little boy and the cross. Is that what you're talking about?
Close, but mine's more literal. The guy who played was a reporter and hung around, not a reporter, he was like an aide that hung around with, what's his name, with Gregory Peck a lot and had glasses on. You may also remember him from a very funny episode of Fawlty Towers. He was an American guest star on that show. Anyway, he played the commander of the Rebel Alliance base on Hoth during the Hoth invasion when he was telling everybody to get out of there.
Yeah.
Close all the doors, something, something, something. Oh, and he's also the guy earlier where Luke was out lost and he's like had to make this decision to finally shut it down. And Han Solo says, you know, can we just do a little more time or whatever? And he says, no, we got to shut it down or whatever. That guy is wandering around in this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to go back and watch
it. It bugged the crap out of me, so I looked it up right then.
Did it really?
Yeah. I knew I'd seen him. It was driving me crazy. His voice and everything. Although I think he may have been voiced over weird. And like everybody got overdubbed in Empire Strikes Back. Mm-hmm. Like Cliff Clavin does not sound like.
That's why Ratzenberger doesn't sound like Ratzenberger.
Yeah, that was totally weird. Well, hello, everybody. I want to barge in here real quick and tell you about our friends over at Audible who make this particular episode of this podcast possible. So huge thanks to them. I'm a big fan of audiobooks, as you know, and each time we do this, I really like to recommend a book that I think you should check out. This comes highly recommended from my friend Jeff, who says I should be listening to The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, A History of Nazi Germany by William L. Schreier. However you say his name. It is unabridged. It is on audible.com right now. It is considered one of the most important books about that period. Came out originally in 1960 and continues to this day as a viable source for anyone who has interest about that time period. So I highly recommend you check it out. That is The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. You can get that or any Audible book, any of them for free simply by going to audiblepodcast.com/FilmSack. Anyway, let's do some clips. You like my sound I did there?
I like that.
Yes. Is that the new introduction to clips?
It is. In the very beginning of the movie, we are haunted with this voice in the background.
The child is dead. He breathed for a moment. Then he breathed no more. The child is dead. The child is dead.
That's a spicy meatball.
He's awesome. Dead because we knocked it in with a bumping hammer.
Pretty good, which is terrible. It's such a terrible, terrible image, terrible like underscore and everything. But while all these guys are walking around sounding like Chef Boyardee, I had a hard time taking it serious. You know what I'm saying? I know they're in Italy. I know that these are like high up in the papal see, you know, Roman Catholic dudes. But come on.
It's a me, Beelzebub.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Anyway, so we know the child is dead. All right, moving on to the weird music when she sees the dog. This really pulls you out of the regular soundtrack, but I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, this is the band.
And during that time, she was being told,
God,
go rhyme up on that roof, Raggy, and rump off.
It was Hypno Rottweiler.
Yeah, it was a Rottweiler horrible. Telling the lady to go kill herself.
That you could actually make the movie better by just muting it. Just go back and mute that whole section.
Yeah, I agree. And that got really loud. Like, that was one of those moments where it's like, okay, volume, what are we doing?
Yeah, hold on to that one for the checklist.
I will. That's a good one.
And the dogs also had facial hair, so remember that one, too.
Make sure you rump off hard. All right. Let's do the. This is the actual lady hanging herself. I captured the whole thing. It gets kind of loud at the end. If we haven't warned you enough, here it is.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
Oh my good gosh, dude. That's so freaking loud.
Wow.
Even here, where I didn't even artificially pump that up.
No.
Who would have thought that the nanny was made of glass?
Right? It's all for you.
That'll teach all of you who didn't see the movie.
Yeah.
And, right. And who's in this glorious estate with this huge mansion home and doesn't notice something? Because if you're going to hang yourself, you've got to get up there. You've got to tie the rope around a chimney, right? Mm-hmm. You got to get down to the edge. Who doesn't notice that going on? There's somebody, you know, spending 10 minutes getting ready to hang themselves on the roof. Like, how do you not notice that?
Yeah.
Well, it's a birthday party. They got goats and they got, you know, merry-go-rounds. It's very easy to miss that kind of stuff.
Dogs.
Have you noticed that?
You have to ask someone where the rope is, too.
Yeah. It's funny that me and Randy have argued about The Exorcist versus Omen, because once I argued that, I was like, is this kind of like one of those things where you either like one or the other? And I'm on Google, and it kind of seems that way. It's kind of like, you know, it's
well, like Star Trek, Star Wars, or
yeah. It's like, you're full ginger of crap, man. The Omen was scarier. The Exorcist was better. Nah.
Yeah, but did you just say Ginger and Marianne?
I did. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I would have changed the line. I would have gotten up there and said, Damien, there are four lights. And then, all right, I'm gonna play
Damien, that. This is because your family didn't get a pinata.
All right. Well, I'm having way more fun with The Omen than I thought I would. Funny how that works out. We're compensating, I believe. Okay, first time we see the crazy priest coming a-calling.
Forgive me, Father. Didn't I understand that you have a matter of some urgent personal business?
You must take communion. Drink the blood of Christ and eat his flesh. For only if he is within you can you defeat the son of the devil.
I see.
He's killed once. He'll kill again. He'll kill until everything that's yours is his.
Father, would you
only
mind waiting?
Through Christ can you fight him. I've locked the door, Mr. Thorne.
Yes?
Would you send for a security guard, please?
Yeah. Good or better. I love this priest. Like, he's so out there, man.
Doctor Who, man. He's Patrick Troughton is amazing.
I love this guy.
Such a good actor.
Oh, another reason why I should catch up on Doctor Who. Decades of Doctor Who, because I didn't know he was a Doctor
this
Who.
This is our Doctor Who connection.
If you haven't seen a lot of Doctor Who and you want to catch up, I don't suggest going back before the last 6 years of it. Like, I really don't think you need to go watch this stuff. He was the second Doctor, and like, it's now going to be, gosh, more than 40 years since he was Doctor Who. You don't want to watch that.
Yeah, I don't want to see that stuff. Here's my knowledge, my working knowledge of Doctor Who. Here it is, right here, right now in a thumbnail. Exterminate! Exterminate! That's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all you got, huh?
Yep. Right after that scene, I was reminded also that the 70s had very annoying phone buzzers, as evidenced by the following clip. And I'm so glad we don't live in this time anymore.
I was freaked out by that because I was like, what the crap is that?
Yeah, listen to this.
Ambassador Thorne?
I was at the hospital, Mr. Thorne, the night your son was born. I witnessed the birth.
Sir?
Does it?
I beg you.
This whole scene, don't you just want him to say, Moneypenny, enough.
Yeah.
Miss Moneypenny, I will be with you in a minute.
Yeah, and I did not artificially tweak that. That is exactly how annoying that is in the movie.
I thought you were talking
about your guess is incorrect. Let's move on to Kitty Karloff.
I thought you were talking about the cricket phone that was in the hospital later on.
Oh, the little chirper thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Terrible sleep communication devices in The Omen, for sure. All right, the new nanny comes. I don't know why anybody was happy to see her, but here she is.
I know it's a difficult time for you, so I'll not intrude on your grief. I'm here to take away some of your troubles and anxieties. We'll soon help you, little boy,
with new ones.
I'm afraid, sir, that some of our young nannies, they get homesick. They have boyfriend problems. I left all that behind a long time ago.
Yeah, homesick and boyfriend problems, and you're going to hang yourself by yelling, whatever. Don't buy.
I went and seen Nanny McPhee like the weekend before that I saw this, and all I could think was the entire time she was doing that, this is totally Mary Poppins.
I liked the first Nanny McPhee. That was great. Yeah. What's wrong with the second one? I heard is not so good, but the first one was great.
Nah, second one's all right. Yeah,
is that right?
I hate Emma Thompson.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Did she cut you off in traffic one time or something? What's
yeah, what's the detail? Yeah. Briefly, what is?
I don't want to get into it on film. She did something politically. No, seriously, she did something politically last year that I think is the most despicable thing. And
she called Hawaii the sook? Is that what happened?
It really bothers me, too, because I want so bad to like Emma Thompson, and she did something that I find so deplorable. You know,
well, I'm just going to look it up, so you might as well just say it.
Yeah. What was it? She
signed on to the letter of approval for Roman Polanski.
Oh.
Of all people, it was like all of these grungy Woody Allen type guys from New York City and Emma Thompson, and you're just like, what? I just can't even believe it. To this day, I'm not entirely sure. I would like for someone to ask her on TV. Did you really sign that thing? Because you know, child rape. I mean,
yeah,
Emma Thompson.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I wonder if we'll ever do it. But there's no such thing as a Polanski movie that fits on this show, is there?
Not really.
I mean, not even. I don't mean just out of like political hate for that, but I mean just generally. There's nothing there that I would
Lolita
go.
Lolita wouldn't quite.
Hey, recently no. Emma Thompson was criticized for a gay stoning joke on Isle of something, Wight.
Oh, what is right. That? Yeah, yeah. She was on. Whose show was she on?
Oh yeah, Kilborn. Oops. Kilborn.
Yeah, Craig Kilborn.
Yeah. Craig Kilborn still has a show.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh. Yeah, Late Late Show, I think it's called.
I thought it was gone.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, she made a gay joke, basically calling, what did she call all the Irish gay, or I don't remember, but anyway,
she's trying to start a fight.
It just makes me sad because I liked her so much, and then she went and did something so bad, and now I can't. You know, I just have to hate her.
We watched Nanny McPhee, but I was watching The Omen.
Dude, I love Manny. Manny McPhee. Excuse me, Nanny McPhee. I think is a fun little movie. It's a good family film flick thing. Anyway,
to answer your question, Scott, I think the Polanski movie, The Pianist, is just fantastic. I think everyone should see it.
I heard he changed it to The Penis, and everyone got mad. Okay, I agree. Actually, The Pianist is awesome. A great movie, but I don't know if we could ever do it on here.
Nah,
probably not our kind of thing. Okay. What else? Oh, this is the back. This is the Abbott and Costello moment between the husband and wife trying to figure out who called the nanny. This is the most ridiculous portrayal of married life I've ever seen. Yeah. So here it is.
Well, I like her.
She seems all right.
Where'd you find her?
Where did I find her? Yeah. I didn't find her. I assumed you found her.
Get your dirty damn hands off me. He sounded like his buddy there.
He did.
Anyway, that struck me as insincere and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have been very nervous about this lady right then.
It would have been a little bit better if Mr. Furley was listening in on the other side of the door.
Right.
Well, they're diplomats.
I thought that was your package.
You know, they're diplomats. They can't show panic.
Yeah, that's yeah. Mr. Furley. Oh my gosh, I forgot all about Three's Company in my life. It had its moments. But
that's why I'm here.
Yes, that is why you're here. And blog guy, go ahead and take that one too. All right.
Absolutely.
The dog is back. This growl scared me. Had my headphones on. Here it is.
Quiet now. This is the master of the house.
I don't like growling dogs. They scare me.
It sounds like they just played the same growl twice too.
They probably looped it, but I just, I don't know, something about that. What about that made people go, honey, can we get a Rottweiler?
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Let's go ahead and get a Rottweiler tomorrow.
I don't understand that. They're not cuddly. They're not cute. Scary as hell. They're good for guard dogs, I guess.
If you're guarding Satan.
Yeah, I guess so. So she goes up to help Damien and to protect him and become his, like, devil helper.
Yeah.
And this is what she says to him.
Have no fear, little one. I am here to protect thee.
I think that music just goes.
Oh, man.
For a while. You know what? Fine, sure, good. She's creepy. Her performance is okay, but give that woman a drink of water. She was like, I'm here to protect you.
No, thee is biblical.
Thee, do you have some Gatorade? Anyway, that was her.
Thee.
So the crazy priest is at it again. Oh, again with the crazy priest.
Look, Robert, why don't you go and have a quick drink with the lads? That'll give me time to make sure everything's set up.
Tomorrow, 2:30, Bishop's Park. 5 minutes and you'll never see me again. Your wife is in danger. She'll die unless you come.
Father? Thanks again.
There are 4 flashes on my camera. So, but well, the reason I wanted to play that clip is Father, what's his name, changed his accent. Now he's Irish.
Yeah.
Did you tell that? He's like, make sure you come alone. I'll be there waiting for you.
Father Brennan. So he was supposed to be Irish all along.
But earlier it was so Italian. Oh, no, I'm thinking of the other guy.
All right.
Oh,
yeah.
See?
Two different people.
I keep mixing those two dudes up.
Telling you, this movie's full of priests. They just keep offing them. They keep popping up.
That's true. Okay, and then that priest had a cool rhyme, I thought. So I thought I'd capture it. This is perhaps my favorite quote of the thing. It is not biblical. It was not taken from the Bible or anywhere else. It was made up for the film, according to the trivia. But I thought it'd be fun to hear. Check it out.
Get on with it. Say what you have to say.
When the Jews return to Zion, and a comet rips the sky, and the Holy Roman Empire rises, then you and I must die. From the eternal sea, he rises, creating armies on either shore, turning man against his brother, till man exists no more.
Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Priesty.
It's kind of interesting, Scott. They're actually going to your neck of the woods. It's something about the Jews returning to Zion National Park.
Yeah, that's it. They're coming to Zion's National Park, hang out in Bryce Canyon for a while, head cool. to Lake Powell. It's perfect. Oh, dude,
then, Zion's, then that's the end of the world. So
Zion's,
watch out.
Zion's is yep. so nice this time of year. I want to go down there.
Yeah.
Really is. You go there, Ibbot, sometimes, right? Grand Canyon, all that kind of stuff?
I've been through there. Yeah, just once.
Amazing stuff. Thanks for bringing that up. Some angry acting, if you will. Gregory Peck doing his 50s stuff. Check it out.
What happened?
Please, signore.
You said you knew its mother. Where is she now?
I must insist that you do not...
I beg you. Where is she? Answer me. Answer!
Signore, you want some more garlic bread? Oh, I know. See, there's another example. Sound effects are too loud. I hated it. You know what? That's a pain for me because when I cap these clips, I have to go normalize the dialogue and tone down any like car driving by or whatever sound it is. Yeah. Like that bell, I had to knock down to, you know, not have it peak. It was ridiculous. And I can't think of a movie we've done where I had to do this more. Planet of the Apes had some of this problem. It just seemed more pronounced here.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, some more old school angry acting. And then we'll move on. Check it out.
Robert, I want to know what he said. Look, I'm not just some bystander. I was the one that found him.
I'm the one that's supposed to kill him. These are knives. He wants me to stab him. He wants me to murder a child.
It's not a child.
How can he know that? Maybe he's wrong. It's insane. Won't have anything to do with murdering a little boy. He's not responsible.
He's not responsible.
And to prove it, I'm going to throw these knives into a crowded marketplace.
And you better go get them because here comes that glass truck. So I captured the he's not responsible bit just for fun. So I have this.
He's not responsible.
Listen to that. That's ridiculous.
He's that not responsible. Awesome.
Responsible.
He's not responsible. Responsible.
Brewster.
I love it. All right. So those are our clips. Good stuff. Enjoyed it. Let's move on now to, where are we here? Is our checklist time? Yeah, it is.
Ooh, checklist.
Checklist. Title with a double meaning. No.
Not even a single meaning on this one.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dumb adults. You betcha. lot of dumb adults in this movie.
Adults are stupid.
Mm-hmm. Peeing, barfing, boobies. Nope. I don't mean boobies that were barfing and peeing.
Right?
That was not in there. Jerk with facial hair. Who would be the jerk with... there was a jerk with Beatles hair for a while.
The nanny.
Oh, the nanny, right.
Oh, the nanny.
She had a little stash. She had a little stash.
Yeah.
Stereotypes would be certainly the priests, the Catholic Church, the whole, you know, 666 stuff. All that stuff is very, I don't know. I don't even know what to compare it. Like, I keep going back to The Exorcist because it's just that, it's that mm-hmm. thing where it's, you know what it's like today, modern day type stuff. It'd be like the Dan Brown novels, the what do you call it?
The Demons and Angels,
yeah,
and
Da Vinci Code, all that kind of stuff.
That's, they did really stereotype the modern Catholic Church as being stuck in the 19th century. That was kind of totally. Boring, actually.
I agree.
I got tired of that.
I agree.
You know what stereotype I hated?
Mm.
Those hospital elevators that lady got on.
What? What hospital elevator? What? Oh. Right. That was a stereotype? How?
I don't know. stuff.
Yeah, elevator stereotypes bleeding into our society.
What was up with those elevators? Anyone seen an elevator like that before?
Oh, you weren't trying to make a pun. What is up with those elevators? I get it.
Yeah.
What is down? Let's get down with that elevator. What? No, I don't know. What are you talking about? What was up with them? I don't get it.
When they were in the hospital in, I guess it was Rome, the Roman hospital, and the elevators just were open face, and you just walked straight onto them. You just went up like a little conveyor.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like they didn't have doors? Waiter. Oh.
It's been a long time for me, but there was a hotel in Yellowstone, the Old Faithful Inn, that had an elevator like that the last time I was there, a long time ago.
That looked dangerous.
Those are called dumb waiters, right?
Yeah.
What a weird name. Who came up with that? Dumb waiter. And why is it a... anyway, that is another show, but I'm curious about that. I've never heard that. I mean, I've heard of it before, but I could never figure out the origin of that. Is it like, did waiters always mean the same thing? Did bringing food...
Is that
up,
where the really dumb ones went?
Did the dumb ones crawl up the chimney to bring you your food?
No, you or must maybe, go up the elevator.
Maybe it has something to do with lifting weight, right?
Oh. Dumb waiter. Dumb.
I was always thinking it was like, you know, waiter that wouldn't speak.
Oh. Maybe it's dumb like dumbbells, that kind of thing, except waiter is like a, I don't know. Who cares? F that. Moving on to Black Guy Dies. First, I didn't see a black person in this movie.
Mm-mm.
I saw a reporter who was black, but that's it. And at the funeral, there were some black dudes there, but nobody died. Decapitation. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. One of the best decapitations I've seen in a long time.
Pretty shocking. I'm mm-hmm. pretty sure that scared me too as a kid. May have scarred me a little bit. For some reason, decapitations in movies, and I mentioned on the show before, I saw that Elliot Gould movie right around the same time where he cut someone's head off in a fish tank and left the head floating in there.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff really gets to me. Like, I have a really hard time with that, or I did when I was younger. Now, I mean, this was obviously special effects and stuff, but pretty effective, you know.
Yeah.
Chop. Star Trek Connection, we already mentioned David Warner and all his good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And for the record, there are five lights.
Bad, oh, no.
Bad guy with a theme song or sound, just a thing.
Yeah, Rottweiler music.
Yep. All right, now here's a tough one. Kenobi type in this movie. We're giving it to Warner? Who are we giving it to?
No, I'm going for that Bugenhagen guy in Israel who...
Oh, gave him the knives.
Oh,
and,
I forgot about him. All right,
that guy was so Yoda. I mean, Kenobi.
Right. He even lived like them, all dirty and stuff in there. animal or robot is comedy relief, not really appropriate. Kid named Billy, Bobby, Peter, or Buddy. No, but we could substitute Damien in there.
Damien.
Sure.
Hey, Damien.
Damien.
Hey, Damien. You little turd.
Want to go play Damien? Like, Damien. Did not get enough billing in this movie. This kid should have gotten a lot more screen time doing creepy things.
In fact, there was a huge swath of the film not in there at all.
Yeah.
Nope.
Huge chunk. When they were traveling around trying to figure out what was going on.
Hey, you know what? I got a rant. You don't expect that people would just give you someone else's baby and that you would be willing to just take and raise someone else's baby from day one. That's just not possible.
And not tell your wife, especially if it was supposedly stillborn, which it wasn't, obviously.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I know. The premise is broken.
Mm-hmm.
The premise is broken.
Yeah, you don't need any time to mourn or anything. Let's just get you right off with another baby.
And I'll bet you it's been, you know, decades in the modern world since people had a baby and the baby was taken out of their sight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They just don't do that. There's no reason to. You have a baby nowadays in either at home or in a room where they can do anything they have to do to the baby.
Yeah.
You know, they don't take the baby away from you.
Totally agree. That stuff's broken. I also thought if the kid really wanted all, you know, people to die left and right, just send the dog in. Let the dog go in, do its mind trick. Done. Half the movie's over. Because I don't want to spoiler alert anything here, but, you know, it doesn't end well for Peck and crew.
That was one of the few things I didn't like about the movie was all through the movie, they did something that I did like. There was never a gun, never a simple solution, but then the movie ended with a simple solution.
Oh, right.
Shoot him with a gun.
Right, right. That's true. They tried to make that nice and dramatic, but the idea that the kid would then be left with the president and his wife, a little far-fetched.
They were good friends.
Yeah, the fact that they didn't show any of that. So basically, you know, the scenes in the church, he's about to stab Damien, the guys come and shoot, slow motion bullet, and then, oh, yeah, we're not going to actually show you probably what should be the most important scene of the film.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think that it was 1976, or four, was it? I can't remember now.
76.
76. We're talking Nixon still?
We're talking Carter at that point.
Was that Carter in 76? Yeah.
Who cares? There's never been a president until the current one who could have been young enough to adopt a five-year-old. It just wouldn't happen.
Beyond that, I guess what I was, suspending my disbelief, I wanted someone who looked like Nixon to go, you know, Mr. President, we're loading up the car. Do you want to go? Or just give us a minute. You know.
I didn't really see it as all this. I see it kind of like as an alternate kind of reality kind of thing. So it didn't really bother me none. I didn't get caught up in all that.
Really?
He's a president. Because if you went on to watch 2 and 3, it just makes more sense. I mean, the way they set it up. I mean, this movie was obviously set to be
Now we get to the bottom of it. Brian Dunaway owns The Omen because he also has the 3-pack.
So that's right.
Can you tell me about The Omen 2 and 3? Does it involve with the president and stuff like that?
That's the whole idea is the ascendancy to be in president, to be in a political family. That's the whole thing they say in the first one is that he's going to, you know, he's going to be born into a political family. And Sam Neill played in the last real Omen that I consider worth watching, part 3 in the final conflict.
Right.
So are you saying that the president at the end of this movie is George Bush Sr. and Damien the Antichrist is George Bush Jr.
Because
that's just wrong, Brian.
Wow. I think it's right.
Maybe.
It sounds about right to me.
And also, the elevator we're talking about earlier is called a Paternoster.
Oh.
And I sent y'all a link to it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. It's like this rotating elevator thing. Open elevator.
Oh, those crazy British / Italian Catholic / hospital people. All right, so that's it. Oh no, I wasn't quite done. There was no cave that looked like a vagina, best I could tell. There was the chick fight. Nope. Oh yeah, there was. Wasn't there a chick fight? Yeah.
Yeah. I guess wife. Yeah.
Layla like pushing the wife out the window.
Yep.
Yeah, with her veil on.
Yeah, that was weird. And also she had full movement of her arm on the way down. Did you notice that? I don't know if you guys noticed. She's waving.
Did not notice that.
Yeah, because she was supposed to be completely immobile with that broken arm. She throws her out, and she's like swimming in the air with it.
Well, of course, I would too.
Well, you would too if you were the stunt.
I don't care
woman.
How many places my arm was broken in. I'd be waving it around if I was falling out of the window.
I would do it. I would do it too if I was that stunt man in a wig and I was paid to jump out and land on the top. All right. Before we get to our Twitter post and what we learned, let's do an email. We got an email from Jim at San Carlos, California. Not at. He's in San Carlos, California. Love the show. Just finished listening to the episode about Jaws 3D and immediately had a flashback to working at a movie theater when a new movie came out. The movie was continuously sold out and we had lines going in and out of the door. And he's talking about Jaws 3D. I just started working at the theater and thought it was always that busy and almost left. The only other movies I remember were Staying Alive, which was the follow-up to Saturday Night Fever. And it was terrible, by the way. Oh, that we'll never watch that. It's so bad. I can't even do it.
Come on.
Do it. It's so bad, dude. Staying Alive is so bad. Oh, you have not seen it then, or do you own the 3-pack of that too?
It comes with it comes with one copy of Saturday Night Fever and two copies of Staying Alive.
They gotta get rid of them somehow. It's like that ET game. You're gonna bury it in the desert.
One for you and a friend copy.
Yeah. Anyway, he says, I never saw the whole movie, but the soundtrack is forever stuck in my head from the countless times I had to watch the credits as I pointed customers to the exit. The other movie I remember, the other movie I remember it is because of the numerous bomb threats and requests for money back. It was Your Hunter from the Future.
I remember that.
That sounds like a movie we want.
So many people.
Yeah, death threat, bomb threats, dude. It was terrible, and I think we only let it run a week or two. If you're brave enough and you can find it, check it out. Netflix doesn't have it yet. Thanks, Jim from San Carlos, California. Thanks, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
If they were, showing Your there, there was already a bomb in the theater.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right. Let's do Twitter posts. Brian Ibbett, share with the folks in 140 characters or less what you think of The Omen.
All right, I'm doing it again where I have two of them that I couldn't decide between. This actually, I just should have brought it up earlier. He also replaced their dog with a toy, and she didn't notice that either.
I love that dog thing. That whole dog scene was weird.
Weird.
Pulling a dog on wheels. The Omen, a thrilling tale of a demon child and helpful hints about how to get out of going to church.
I could have used those when I was a kid. Yeah. Let's go Randy Jordan. Randy, what do you got?
The Omen, just hurry up and take the kid for a swimming accident. He ain't blood anyhow. I support the President of the United States.
Nice. And then Brian Dunaway, of course.
The Omen, a true story about a 5-year-old boy who grew up to be George Bush. I mean, Barack Obama. I mean, every president since this movie.
Uh-oh.
Hey, wow.
Wow, what are you saying? I'm scared. I'm very scared. Someone pushed me off a table and had me fall off my banister, please.
Actually, I can't wait to hear our emails next week.
Yeah.
The Omen has a huge impact on our social mind here in the U.S. because that's what people are always saying. It's like, oh, it's going to be someone who's going to be in political power. It's going to be the president. It's going to be the U.S. president. And it's going to, so every time a president comes into office, they're, oh, this is the end. Especially when George Bush came in because he was the child.
Yeah.
So he grew up in a political family. So, I mean,
and when you drive, anytime you saw George Bush drive past any kind of church, he'd scream and claw his way out of there.
And thus begins my new script for the forthcoming film, The Manchur Satan Candidate.
Manchur Satan. Love it. All right. Well, this is what we learned while you looked up and lost your head in a huge slab of glass. When you're in the park, make sure you walk your robot dog. Never,
I want one of those dogs. Those things are creepy, though.
Never go pick up your bag of knives, ever. It's kind of a connected one. That dude from Tron totally needs a new digital camera. No one wore seatbelts in the 70s.
Because they didn't have them.
And finally, there are four lights. And that is what we learned. That's going to do it for us. Oh, my gosh. Another show in the can. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Scott Fletcher has a few things to say. Let's listen to his fine quotes. Again, multiple quotes from Scott this week. Must have been a good movie for that. Quote number one.
Look at me, Damien. It's all for you.
So much happier and cheery that time around, right? Quote number two.
You sounded strange. The door was locked.
Ominous. Quote number three.
Have no fear, little one. I am here to protect thee.
Delivered with such old world panache. And here he is with the final quote. Quote number four from Scott Fletcher.
Rome, June 6th, 6 a.m. Meanwhile, back at the Hall of Justice.
Nice.
That's awesome. Not actually in the film, but
no.
On the cutting room floor.
The first part, not the second part.
Yeah, that's true. Guys, remind me, what is our movie next week? Let's see here. Sorry. Here it is.
Well, Scott looks up this movie. Leave our audience with a message. From all of us at FilmSag to all of you, remember, when something's coming at your head, duck.
Yes. That's right. Thank you, Bill. And back to us, as we're in hour 14 of this marathon, Hudson Hawk is the film that we'll watch next week. That's right. Hudson Hawk, the Bruce Willis film that Brian Ibbett is very fond of.
Love it.
The rest of us aren't sure about.
Me and Ibbett are going to be on it.
Yep. Ibbaway.
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 So that's coming up next. After that, we have Jason Goes to Hell. So I'm extremely excited about that. We continue into some of these horrier movies for... is that a word?
Horrier.
As we work...
I want to watch some horrier movies with you guys.
As we work get closer and closer to Halloween, All Hallows Eve. Very excited about that. So watch for more of those and more films coming down the pike. Tons of new ones coming. We love that you guys are listening. Let me just do a little business at the end of the show. Don't forget to go to the website, filmsack.com. Email us. We may hear it on the show, filmsack@gmail.com. You can send audio stuff, too. I'm happy to play attachments. Twitter.com/filmsack is the Twitter to follow. And give us some reviews on iTunes. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randall. We'll see you next time.
Paternoster. The old man wants better.
Three-pack.
Brian, three-pack, don't we? Little do they know, if they just shaved his head, it would all become clear.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.